Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am your host. My name is Dean Weitzman. And you're listening to Court Radio on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yes, folks, we're here, we're back, we're ready to rock and roll. If you've got a legal issue, you've got to give us a call today at 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal.
All of it.
All of it. Always.
Explode. Yes.
All right. Sit back, relax, and enjoy yourselves. We've got the firm in the house. Well, most of the firm.
Most of us.
Yes. We are here to answer your questions. Sarah O., good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Tactics behind the keyboard.
Yes, sir.
We're all here, except for somebody who will be a few minutes late. 215-227-2727. All right, we've got Labor Day coming up. Can you believe how fast this summer has gone?
Summer.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. It was, I don't know. It wasn't a particularly bad summer weather-wise.
Just really
not here.
Hot.
Yeah.
Really hot.
It was hot. We had some rain a little bit, but we've survived, and now it feels like fall is in the air almost.
Yeah, well, the humidity's coming back.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's coming back.
I got to put my dehumidifier suit on.
Yep. Whatever that is. Well, take a picture of that.
Every superhero has one. Well, Labor Day is going to bring parties at your house. We're going to talk a little bit about what your liability would be if folks come imbibing in your refreshments and go out and harm themselves or others. So sit back and listen to that. But before we get there, there's an interesting story. Sarah, picked up on the internet. Emory Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, lost a man's skull.
A part.
Yeah. Okay. It sounded better when we said the whole skull. Okay, they took a part of his skull off to do a craniotomy. He had a hemorrhage, and the swelling, and this is not unusual, the swelling because of the blood in the cranial cavity caused pressure. You could die from that very easily. It's a very serious condition. We represent a lot of folks who have that condition due to motor vehicle accidents. You sustain a serious enough head injury, you're going to have bleeding in the brain. That bleeding will cause pressure, and they have to remove a part of your skull to relieve the pressure. Okay. Usually they can allow that pressure to dissipate, and then they put the piece of the skull back on, and you go about your business. It's a serious, serious, serious injury, but it can be handled in that fashion. Well, they had taken the part of the skull off is September 30th of 2022, and their plan was to put it back on November 11th of 2022. And in the interim, between when they took it off and when they were planning to put it back on, they lost it. They failed to properly identify that portion of his skull, and it got mixed up, perhaps thrown away, perhaps mixed up. They couldn't identify it, and they couldn't put anybody else's piece back in his place. So they had to fashion one using a 3D printer, a 3D printer. Believe it or not, they can do that nowadays. And they did put it eventually back on, and he went about his business. But it caused a lot of consternation, obviously, with the family. It delayed the surgery, and it wasn't his. He then sues Emory Healthcare Systems, and that suit is pending. The questions are, if this case happened in Philly, Would my law firm have handled it? The answer is, well, let's go first to the question, is there a claim? Is there a claim there, a bona fide claim? Was there negligence? Did the negligence cause damages? The answer is yes. I believe that that is a proper answer. Because the doctors had a duty to identify, just like when you're going in for surgery and they have to count how many sponges they have and how what their tools are, and then make sure that they have the same count afterwards. They've got to identify this skull as being a part of this man's body and preserve it for the eventual re-implanting of that piece a month and a half later, or 2 months later. Their failure to do that is clearly negligence, and the negligence did cause some damages. And so
I guess the question is, what damages?
Well,
he did sustain infections from the 3D replacement.
Right.
So that was one. And then the other thing, too, is they lost part of his skull and then charged him $19,000 for the 3D replacement.
No. Okay. So now the question is, did he pay it or did his insurance company pay it? Yes, I 100% agree. That would be a contract claim, not necessarily a tort claim, although you could raise it in the tort claim as economic damages, but it's also a contract claim. I have a contract with you that I'm going to reimplant your skull, and I'm going to make sure that we keep it in preservation for that. They breached that contract, and so that could be either a tort claim or a contract claim. Clearly, it's not his damages to pay. They screwed up, and so they should pay that $19,000 or not have billed him for that. And so, but do you bring a personal injury claim for $19,000? No. I mean, if that were your only damages, you may have a claim, but would you gear up and spend all the money necessary to litigate that claim? Probably not. But as a part of the totality of the claim, you would include that. And you're correct that would be, if he had been forced to pay it, he would be entitled to get that money back. But the real deal here is, what's the value of his personal injury claim? And the second question that was asked was, how much would you sue for? Now, that's an interesting question, because in Pennsylvania, we don't sue for a particular amount. It is either less than or more than $50,000. And why is that? Because that's the line, that's the determination as to whether the matter is an arbitration, where you begin by having a panel of attorneys hear your case and make a decision. And then either party is free to take an appeal to the trial court, where a judge and jury would make your decision. But preliminarily, the first take is with a panel of attorneys. If you believe the value of your claim exceeds $50,000, then you would allege that its value was greater than $50,000, and you would start with a judge and a jury. But you don't say, I want $4,219,000. So you don't ask for an amount specific. It's just more than or less than $50,000.
Where did the $50,000 figure line come from? Why there?
It's a good question. It's a statute.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe it's court mandated.
It was court mandated.
Yeah, by the Supreme Court. It's part of the Supreme Court rules.
All right.
That if it's less than $50,000. Around the Commonwealth, we start as an arbitration.
I'm just wondering why the number is 59, might not 100,000 or 75. Why was it 50?
Again, a great question, and it's a number that probably, like all things, should be tied into inflation, because they made that rule decades ago.
Right.
And so you're right. Nowadays, we should have an arbitration that's 75 or 100,000 or maybe more, and that would free the court from having to hear a lot of these smaller cases initially.
Yeah.
And so it used to be a lot less. It used to be 25, I think, back in the day when I started practicing law. And then they moved it to 50. But it should – I don't understand why the courts and the legislature don't tie a lot of this into inflationary standards so that they you don't ever have to look at it again. And as time goes by, they just inch up little by little each year. Mm. And the 50 probably would be closer to 100 today if that had happened.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's 50. And is it a winnable case? Absolutely. Would we take the case? Probably we would take the case. We may work with another firm in the city that handles smaller medical malpractice claims. Maybe, you know, but it's an interesting case, and it would be, you know, a case that we probably would keep and take. So there you go. The Emery case, will, you know, you'll have to keep an eye on that and see how things go with it and bring it back to the our listeners.
I can't imagine losing part of my skull.
Oh, folks, that voice, that disemboweled voice.
Disemboweled.
Wow.
Superstar.
That's Manny Manuel. You may recognize him from another show on this station.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I was a tad tardy this morning. Forgive me. I have a good reason, but forgive me.
You always do.
Yeah, there's always a good reason.
Absolutely.
Always.
I have receipts.
Yes, you do.
Always has receipts.
I do. I have to. I work in a legal show. I have to have receipts.
215-227-2727. If you have a legal issue today, give us a call. We can probably get you an answer. And while I'm here, you get an immediate answer. For free. Yeah. How about that?
A quarter of $1 billion worth of legal information for free.
There you go. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Labor Day. What is the responsibility of a homeowner in Pennsylvania for the actions of guests who drink too much at their home? You want to take a shot at that?
Well, I guess it depends on what state you're in.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I did.
Wait, what do you mean what state? What, inebriation or what state literally?
Well, the 50 states.
The actual, there's
one of the 50.
One of the 50. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
The state of the state that you in that state.
Well, in this state we're called a commonwealth.
Yes. Right.
So, what happens in the commonwealth if somebody drinks too much at your little barbecue?
There is some liability.
Haven't we had this conversation before?
We have. Yeah. And that's why we're having it again because you don't remember.
Mm.
The answer is no liability in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for social hosts.
Oh,
unless the social host gives drinks knowingly or unknowingly to a minor.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
A minor who is allowed to take a sip of something in your home or at your party and then goes out and harms himself or others, you have practically automatic responsibility. And in that case, your homeowner's coverage would most likely enter a defense on your behalf and pay for any damages that they cause to themselves or others.
And a minor would be anyone under 21, correct?
That is correct. Right. Yeah, the drinking age, not the age of majority.
That is right.
Whereas somebody who is of age, you have no responsibility whatsoever. I think you have a moral responsibility to take people's keys away from them when they've drank too much, but you don't have a legal responsibility, but you do in New Jersey.
That's right.
In New Jersey, social hosts can be held responsible for the actions of their guests.
Is that right?
It is.
Huh.
And now we've had cases like this against employers who have, let's say, an end-of-the-year holiday party. Or they take the team to the baseball game and they ply them with drinks in one of those private suites.
Mm.
And then their employee goes down and hurts somebody. Even in that circumstance, the employer is protected by Pennsylvania law. Now, you would wonder, why is that? And I don't have a great answer for it because, you know, I think there should be responsibility.
What about just personal responsibility on your own to know better than to?
Well, of course, yeah, you have responsibility.
That would be the argument, though, right?
Yes, you have the responsibility.
Not, a lot of times, if it's not legal, people really aren't. You know, you can't really depend on it.
Yeah, if you knew that your guests were you would be personally responsible for your guests' actions, you'd be keeping a closer eye on who's hitting the bottles and how much they've had and whether they should be getting behind the wheel. And you may intervene in that case and say to them, listen, I'm personally responsible for you, and I'm not taking that chance. Sit down and sober up. But in Pennsylvania, we don't do that. And that's a problem. And I think that's something the legislature should look at. I think there should be social host responsibility in Pennsylvania. Maybe the courts can look at that, but they'd have to undo a lot of old law.
And if I remember correctly, our first state of Delaware is not responsible at all for anything.
I'm not sure about that. I think they're still responsible for minors, but I'd have to get back to
them. I'd be surprised they weren't responsible for minors. That's just...
You never know.
Across the board. Come on.
215-227-2727. You know we handle all legal issues, including cases involving hair relaxer.
Oh. You do say. You don't say.
We have been representing women in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and across the country. In cases where they have sustained gynecological cancers as a result of the use of hair relaxer. You may not have known there was a connection, ladies, but there is. If you have used hair relaxer throughout your lifetime, and really all you need to have done is used it for 4 times a year for maybe 5 years, but most of the women we've talked to and have represented have used it for decades.
That, yeah.
That's almost never a problem. Where the problem falls is whether you have the right types of cancers that we've found a clear connection between the use of hair relaxers and those types of disease. And that is endometrial cancer, uterine cancer. Again, gynecological cancers have a significant uptick when you've used hair relaxers or PERMs, however you want to phrase it. Those products change your hormonal system, believe it or not, and allow your body to be far more susceptible to acquiring these types of cancers. And so if you're listening for the first time and or you have a family member who may have been diagnosed with or passed from those types of cancers, there is a connection between hair relaxer and those cancers, and we are representing those clients, again, here in Philadelphia. But if you have an aunt in, you know, Tennessee, and you know that she sustained that disease, have her give us a call because... You know, right now it is still in the stage where we're filing lawsuits and we're gathering up our evidence. And, you know, it takes months and months and months to gather up these medical records, to have these medical records analyzed by specialists and to get the opinion from the specialist that, yes, you are a part of this class. And, you know, bear in mind that if it turns out that your disease, we cannot make that connection clearly to the use of hair relaxer, there's absolutely no charge to you whatsoever. We right. gather the records. We pay to gather the records. We pay to have those records analyzed. And if we choose not to be able to go forward because the medical opinion is not supported for your case, then we close the file and you've lost absolutely nothing.
Mm.
So feel free. Give us a call. Give us a call today or have your family member call us today at 215-227-2727 when we're off the air. And my team will be jumping on it immediately. You'll hear back from us this weekend. And we'll start gathering up the medical records. It's as simple as that. There's no risk.
How long has it been now that since these cases have been coming, since we started talking about this?
Over a year.
It's been over a year.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
How does the statute of limitations work?
It's 2 years from when you knew or should have known that there may be a connection. So literally, if you're listening to me right now and you had no idea that this was a possible connection, the statute begins to run today.
You got till 2026 to do something about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't.
Yes.
Yeah, don't wait.
Don't wait because it does take, you know, the older the diagnosis, let's say you were diagnosed 8 years ago with this cancer, those records are not easy to acquire and they take time. And so we need the time necessary to acquire the records. And then the records have to be examined by specialists. And then those specialists have to prepare a report and send it to us. And all of that takes time. And so give us the time we need and call us today, 215-227-2727. All right, let's talk to...
somebody.
Oh, an anonymous caller.
Anonymous, and they've gone the way of anonymous.
Well, let's see what they say. Doctor gave him medication and then told him one of the side effects is it may cause cancer. Okay, so if you're already warned pre-use of the medication that it may cause cancer and then, in fact, does, that's a side effect of the medication, a risk of the medication. You apparently have weighed the pros and cons. It may be a very small risk, and you may have a very serious condition and may have chosen to accept that risk. They've protected themselves with that warning.
Any side effects really with the drug, if you experience those side effects, whether serious or minor, you're
pretty much out.
Yeah, like that's almost like a contract. Look, this is what could happen if you sign on for it. Then
you've made an educated decision that the risk of that is small enough that the benefit of using the medication for whatever condition you have is serious enough that you've made that decision for yourself.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of that. I mean, in most cases,
right.
Yeah, in most cases, 215-227-2727 anonymous. Great question. And I hope we've helped answer that for you.
Anonymous.
Yeah. Some people like to keep their anonymity close to the vest.
Yeah, you know, as, Walt say, mind your business.
Yeah.
What do you think, by the way, I want to diverge just for a moment. How did you watch the...
Yes, I did.
Okay, and what did you think?
Awesome. Different.
Did you,
inclusive.
At any point in time, did you get teary?
Oh, well, yeah, there were moments. Yeah, that little Waltz kid, man, talking about his dad.
How about the shots they took at him?
These people, man, it's not weird. It's just evil. It's just terrible how they just pick on people, man. And everything is just personal attacks. But I thought what it did was it showed a party, obviously, with a big umbrella. And I said this to Tech. It gave everybody else something to cheer about, feel good about, get motivated about.
How about grabbing back Patriot from the Republicans?
Hey, to hear USA chants at a DNC convention, to see and being called a patriot and all these chants and all these moments – it was a, if you saw both of them, you got a good contrast. Which side do you want to be on seeing both of these convinces? Now, who do you want to hang with?
Yeah.
That's what I saw. And again, a lot of energy, whole lot of energy.
So now the question is, will we be able to sustain that for the next, 11 weeks?
Well, what's going to really determine it is the same thing that determined, the last election on why Biden was pushed out. That upcoming debate is going to be it. These debates coming up is basically going to make the decision on who's going to go where and who's going to fortify their base.
Let me tell you something. She's going to eat him alive.
We'll see.
In a debate. She should.
Well, I will say this. Based on her performance on Thursday night, I feel more comfortable that she will. She has not performed well in prior debates.
Right.
Now, she's a whole different person now. I mean, we grow every day, and that's 4 years ago. And, you know, I like it when the Republicans point back to to who she was or what she believed in 4 years ago to claim that's what she is today. Come on. We all change our opinions. We learn more information.
We mature.
We grow. And so, you know.
But she does have to answer on why she changed her opinion. Right now, she's not really talking to the press.
No.
She talks to the press every day. There's a gaggle of press people on the plane she flies on every day. There's always press around her. In other words, this nonsense about you got to have a press conference every day, that's nonsense. There's always talk to the press. Let me just say this real fast. the debates she was in prior, were they singer debates or were those debates with everyone else on the stage? This is different. There's just her and one other person. Big difference.
No, what I'm saying is I guess we need to look at the debate that she had with the old vice president, Pence. How did that debate go?
Yeah, I don't recall.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That was good.
How did that debate go? And, you know, that's really going
to
be.
They are afraid to death of this sister. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be absolutely must watch TV. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Trump though. He's a TV guy. He understands how to work the camera, how to work a TV room. That's a strength. That's a very important strength that he has, and he knows how to utilize that.
Like I said, we're going to see.
It's going to be must see TV. And it's going to be in Philly, baby.
Yeah, but
I'm sure I'm getting a lot of love, man.
I don't think there's going to be an audience.
They haven't determined that.
At the Constitution Center, right?
Yeah, it is at the Constitution. I just don't know if there was, because I think at some point they said when it was Biden versus Trump, there was no audience.
There was no, right, but that was weren't. At the request of the Biden camp.
Yeah. I do not know if there's going to be an audience. I'm not sure.
I don't think there should be.
I don't either.
I don't think there should be.
Because I don't want to hear people, you know, on either side, you know, taking any time away from the candidates by applauding or hooting and hollering or whatever.
And we will hoot and holler.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It reminds me, who was the congressman, the senator? Joe, the Jewish guy, he was running for vice president.
Lieberman.
Remember when Lieberman and what's his name had their debate at the table? What's his name? Bush's vice president.
Quayle?
Not Quayle, Bush, the other W.
Oh. I don't know.
The guy that shot his friend. And
Schultz.
No.
What was his name? The guy, Halliburton dude, bald. What's the name's father?
All right, whatever.
Anyway, that debate was so good because it was two intelligent men at a table, no audience, talking about the issue. So, yeah, no audience, the two of them at a table. Let's have at it.
Yes.
And is ABC the first one?
I believe ABC is the one that's definitely going to happen.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not really sure about the Fox one.
I don't think there will be a Fox. There will not be a Fox.
You don't think so?
No.
But
they haven't earned the right to have a debate.
He'll be forcible. He'll like.
I don't care.
He'll be adamant about it. Got to be a Fox.
No. They paid $800 million because of their nonsense. They've lost the right. They have no value. In fact, if there was no First Amendment, I would say pull their ticket. Throw them away.
How about C-SPAN? Do it there. They're pretty much on
That's
the
CNN.
Is C-SPAN really CNN?
Yeah, I think they're owned by the same company.
Even have commentators, or don't they just stick a camera in a room? And
they kind of
No, they do have. Every now and then, they'll have a commentator.
Okay.
Every now and then.
I don't know. But I think one debate's going to be enough.
You think?
Yeah, let's get out, because we don't have a lot of time here, folks. You know. Yeah. And then
who does that help, not having a lot of time?
Helps her.
Yeah,
for sure it helps.
Because she has a clear record. I mean, he has a clear record on what, I mean, it can go either way, you know, but he has a clear record on who he is. It was very interesting. I was watching Smirconish, and basically.
Hold that for a second. Folks, if you've got a legal issue and you want to get an answer and you want to hear us stop talking about politics, give us a call at 215-227-2727.
That'll
Let's talk
shut us
to
up. Yeah.
Kiona on line one, Eric.
Oh, I thought we were going to break.
No, we're going to take Kiona first.
Good morning, Kiona.
Good morning, Kiona.
Hey, Kiona.
I'm sorry. Hello. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your question, young lady?
My question kind of had several parts, but it focuses around fibroids. I have fibroids. I'm a veteran. I have been denied medical disability compensation for my fibroids. So has every other black woman that I know. So I want to know if something can be done as far as fighting back with the VA about that. And also, again, with the fibroids, fibroids are not mentioned in the hair relaxer claims. It's always about cancer. But the same women that use these hair relaxers, the majority of which are black women, the majority of which also have fibroids. So I want to know why fibroids aren't mentioned.
Great question, and I'm going to answer it. Initially, when we first started this litigation, we had hoped to be able to include women with fibroids, and we currently represent some women with fibroids. And those cases are kind of on a pause because we've not been able to get, you know, remember that in every one of these cases, while we're bringing a legal action, we depend upon the medical community to be able to support the connections that we hope we can then litigate. And if we don't have the medical documentation to support it, we can't go forward with those claims. And so in this instance, we believe that there may be a connection between fibroids. We, the lawyers, believe there may be a connection. And the doctors said, no, we're not able to make that connection strongly enough. There's a number of reasons why women have fibroids, and including their race, their weight, their age, and so we were not able to, at this point, we were not able to tease out and make a strong enough connection between hair relaxer and fibroids such that to bring a claim in a courtroom. And so we're still working on it. Stay tuned. We're still trying to get the studies from the doctors to be able to make that legal connection. If we do, we will. But right now, we have not been able to, and we're not taking new cases of fibroids. Unfortunately. Kiona?
Yeah, I'm here. It's just very disheartening. I understand your explanation thoroughly. It just basically just sounds like to me that there's purposely, I guess my conspiracy side or whatever, but I feel purposely ignored, not investigated. Like nobody's making a mad dash to see why majority of black women have this issue.
We are, I will say this, we are working on trying to make that connection through the doctors that we're working with. We are trying. And if we do, we will pursue them. But I hear your frustration, and I empathize with it. But right now, we just don't have the medical connection that we need to have in order to take the cases into a courtroom. But we're working on it.
I hear you.
Stay
tuned.
Thank you, guys. All right. Thank you, Kiona. Folks, we got to take a very quick break. If you've got a legal issue, give us a call at 215-227-2727. We promise to get you on the air and to give you a solution. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, we're back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
There we go. The legal's out of the way. If you've got a legal issue, we've got the solution. Give us a call again, 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly and beyond. There you go. We have some callers, and we're going to jump right on. Let's talk to Greg on line three. Oh, Greg, welcome to Court Radio.
He's going the way of Anonymous.
What happened to the callers today? They have no patience. All right, Greg had a great question, and I'm going to answer it for him. His wife had ovarian stage 4 cancer. She passed 10 years ago. She used hair relaxer. What can he do? I will say this. Unfortunately, there is a hard statute of limitations on death cases. If it's more than 2 years since the date of death, there is no way to resurrect that claim. And so the fact that Greg's wife passed 10 years ago precludes her from being a part of this lawsuit. We talked about 2 year statute of limitations from when you knew or should have known. And let's say Greg just found out today by listening to the show. Unfortunately, because it involves a death, the wrongful death statute of 2 years plays into this. And it doesn't matter when he found out. That is a hard and fast 2 year statute.
Wow.
If you're listening and you have a loved one who passed less than 2 years ago, you may only have days, weeks, or months before your statute has come and gone. So the 2 year statute that people who are dealing with it and are alive and dealing with the disease, they may have 2 years from today, but you don't. Again, another reason why, if you think you might belong to this claim, get in line now. Give us a call, preserve the statute, and let us work on trying to prove the claim is valid. 215-227-2727. Okay. Let's talk to Earl on line four. Good morning, Earl. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, Dean Weitzman. I'm been a fan of y'all for 2005.
Ooh, all right. My man.
We're coming up on an anniversary. I'm going to have to take you to dinner.
I'm still waiting for the ride in that Lamborghini you had back then.
Oh.
Well, the new Lamborghini is coming in February. February and Philly is no time to be taking rides. So
No.
You look me up sometime in the spring.
They don't put snow tires on Lamborghinis.
No.
Do they?
No, they don't. Well, on the Lamborghini Urus.
Okay.
You know that. Go ahead. We're getting off on cars here. Let's go, Earl. What's your question?
Yeah, my question was, because every time I go to the gym here, and I go to Sunoco on Ceylon Avenue, and I go on the Montgomery side. Panhandlers always, they harass me for money and everything. So, and they call the cops. Cops don't do nothing on the Montgomery County side. But so that makes me go on the Philly side where they don't allow panhandling on the Philly side. Why is that?
Because the mayor and the Philadelphia police decided that they were going to get tougher on enforcing the panhandling laws in the state of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and other jurisdictions have not decided to tackle that issue. You know, there's laws that forbid and prevent panhandling, make it a crime. But I don't know if I agree. Oh, I mean, I used to come off of the Ben Franklin Bridge, and when you come down into 676 Vine Street at that first traffic light,
they're right there.
Yeah. They're still right there. They're still there on the boulevard.
And they're still on the boulevard.
But they're not at the convenience stores and gas stations anymore, though, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Because I go to the Sunoco he's talking about. He's right. Oh, the Montgomery County side?
Where they want to pump your gas for you?
Right next to the LA Fitness.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
So it isn't enforced entirely in Philadelphia, but it may be as a court. You know, I don't know this to be a fact, but it sounds like based on Earl's experience and your experience, it is the convenience stores and gas stations that have kept them away.
And not just to pump your gas, just standing outside, opening the door for you or something like that.
Right.
They'll just sit there all day, post up, open and close the door for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's an uncomfortable situation.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why we are, you know, we, Philadelphia, are not held in the highest of esteem right now is because of the homeless, the panhandlers, and the general just, you know, deterioration of the quality of life in the city that we've all seen and experienced and need to change.
Well, you know what they did, you know what she did to combat that, right?
What's that?
Here we go.
Raise my property taxes.
And she's going to use that money to do what?
Clean up Kensington, Frankfurt, all the drug-infected and afflicted areas of Philadelphia.
And she's doing some
money. Are you okay
money.
With that?
What?
That,
am I
that,
okay?
That your taxes went up and that you're seeing it being used.
I don't see it yet. I just know that my taxes went up.
Wow.
We're guessing. We're assuming that the...
If you see it, will you be okay with it? Oh my God!
Yeah,
it's a one-hour show. Come on,
that's a shame.
I guess I have to be okay with it.
Yeah,
everybody wanted it cleaned up, but nobody wants to pay for it.
Right? And you know, if I had the choice, I wish I would have had the choice. Or you know, nobody knows.
You don't want to have the choice. In other words, you don't want the problem to have existed so that you have to pay to get rid of it.
But he's saying he wish he would have known that this would have been the results of cleaning up, that I would have higher taxes. When someone was running, that's what he's saying.
You would
campaigning
have,
on
yeah,
this.
You would have said, "I'm not going to vote for you. I'd rather the city deteriorate, and I'm not paying for it."
There are some folks that feel that way.
Well, that's craziness.
It's true
because the value of your property will go up if the problems are eradicated. If we lived in utopia and there was no crime and no panhandlers and no drug markets, your value of your property would go up.
His argument
is, on the other hand, you're going to, you know, with one hand you give, the other you get.
But and it's not in his neighborhood. It's for another part of town. It doesn't affect where he lives.
I'm just paying higher taxes
to help eradicate the problem elsewhere.
But if you don't eradicate the problem, eventually that disease migrates to your part of the town as well.
Right. So the question, well, look, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see it be used properly. That's the important thing. Earl, I hope we answered your question, young man.
Yeah, thank you. I have many more questions, but y'all can go off air soon.
Yeah, feel free to give us a call next week.
Yeah,
we'll make a special time just for the Earl time.
Do I get my free T-shirt again?
Again.
Yeah,
I think Earl's selling these T-shirts, man.
Talk about panhandling.
Hustling. I like the joke.
All right. We love you, Earl. Take care, brother.
Yeah, we love guys too. Thank you.
Hey, man.
215-227.
I might have to sell a couple of shirts, bro.
2727. Keep those calls a-coming.
Quick, back to the convention. One of the best lines. Do we want common sense or nonsense?
Yep.
I thought that was a great line.
There were a lot of great lines.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of teary moments for me.
Which was?
I can't specifically state because one of the,
I got misty.
Listen, when I watch a movie, I don't know what it is. Maybe I learned this in law school. We would study hard, read a whole textbook, 300, 400 pages of cases, cram that into our brain, and then spit it out for the test. And I just flush that information down the toilet the second I don't need it anymore. Mm. I watch a movie. I can't tell you what the movie was about. I loved it. I cried. I was happy. And it's gone. And I think that that's...
You're in the moment.
Yeah, I am
you're so in the moment.
And so there were so many moments during the convention where I was getting teary over. I mean, she was, even during her speech, she was so strong when she needed to be. She was so presidential when she needed to be. It was magical.
The moment when Jesse Jackson came out and all of the other, when it was explained, you know, the history of Jesse running, and I was,
yes.
I remember 84 and 88, and I remember Mignon Moore, and just that whole time period.
I actually missed that. I was up for a break on that one.
It was tough to see Jesse in a wheelchair. I didn't know that he had deteriorated that.
Yeah, I've seen him. I saw him on the streets of Philadelphia in a wheelchair. So I knew that. But, you know, he's still the man who, you know, in some ways is the reason why she's running today.
Opened that campaign in 84 and then in 88 where he got 13 states. That opened the door for what we're looking at now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He cried when Barack Obama was elected.
Sure.
Because he saw that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he was a little sad that it didn't happen sooner, too.
I think also that it's also a moment where he realized, back to Obama, okay, I'm no longer the guy.
Right.
The
torch was passed.
The torch has been passed. And that's kind of tough to deal with for a lot of folks.
And in some ways, and that was another moment when Obama was and Michelle was on the stage.
Oh, man,
They were incredible moments.
They brought out the A-team all week long.
The parents of the hostages in Israel.
That was a moment.
Oh, my God.
Now that you're bringing it, that was a moment.
And the way that Kamala handled the Israeli and Jewish problems and the Hamas being a terrorist organization, but the Palestinian people not. The way she handled that was magnificent and again, showed some statesmanship, showed some ability to guide us through difficult decisions. These are things that she's going to deal with on the debate stage. It really was, to my listening, I'm a Jew, okay? I believe in Israel's right to exist and the Jewish people's right to be at peace. But I also understand that if there are Palestinians who have been controlled by a terrorist organization, that they too have a right to exist in peace and to have self-determination. So it was, to me, it was a really good thing that she hit that the way she did. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Robert on line two. Hi, Robert. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Robert,
what's going
welcome.
On, Robert?
Yes, I had a question about asbestos-related diseases. I had pancreas cancer, and I worked in the asbestos business for about 15 years. And I had a hardening on my pancreas. And the only thing I can relate to is doing the asbestos work and sometime where we got contaminated before we set up. And sometimes where the fibers came through that was smaller than 5 microns. And I was trying to figure out why is it such a hard thing putting in the lawsuit. For that.
Well, what was the cancer or disease?
It was a pancreas cancer.
Pancreatic cancer.
My father-in-law died.
Yes.
Okay. When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed in 2022.
And are you under treatment now?
No, I actually had the whole thing cut out. The piece out.
Okay, and it never spread anywhere else?
No.
My friend, you are a very lucky man.
Number one.
Yeah, very lucky man. Pancreatic cancer is still one of the most deadly cancers there is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy I'm talking to you and that, you know, you have gotten a good result, one that 99% of the people with that disease don't get. In any event, like the hair relaxer and gynecological cancers, there are certain cancers that are recognized and tests and studies have proven are connected to a product. And there are a whole lot of other cancers that they've not made that connection. It is what it is. I mean, the medicine drives the law in this instance. Mm-hmm. And if the medicine can't make the connection clearly between pancreatic cancer and asbestosis, then the law won't allow the lawyer to bring the case before a jury because they won't have the medical documentation to make that connection.
I thought there was already a case dealing with asbestos.
There is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's mesothelioma, which is, you know, lung cancers. Mm-hmm. And, there's very specific cancers that are connected to asbestos.
Okay.
Perhaps, and I'm not, I can't tell you with 100% certainty, but I'm assuming that his cancer, the form of cancer that he had, they were not able to make that medical connection. Gotcha. A lawyer can only go forward on a legal claim such as that when they have a doctor, scientists, and studies which make that connection. Robert, best of luck on your continued path of good health, and thank you for calling Court Radio, sir.
And thank you.
215-227-2727. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back, folks. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, my Philly lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good Good morning and welcome back. I am your host, Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio, brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. If you've got a legal issue, My Philly Lawyer will be there for you. Give us a call after hours from 10 a.m. Saturday morning until 9 a.m. Saturday morning. For one hour, we're Court Radio. The rest of the time, you give us a call. Court Radio becomes My Philly Lawyer, and we will handle your legal issues with professionalism and respect. 215-227-2727. That's the number for all things legal, and it's the only number you need to keep in your phone. Hey, let's talk to our friend Velda on line one, Eric. Velda, welcome to Court Radio again.
Hey, Velda.
Velda.
I don't know. This must be like some phone issue thing. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Velda going once. Velda going twice. All right.
Well, let's answer Velda's question.
Velda asks, what about the fumes from the relaxer as it relates to hairdressers? Have they found any issues that cause cancer? Not to my knowledge, Velda. Not to my knowledge. And I grew up in a beauty shop and watched my dad color. My dad was a colorist. He would color old ladies' hair and young, I guess. But it was more common for older women back then to get their hair colored, not young. And my mom would cut hair. And that beauty shop stunk.
I remember those smells.
Oh,
those
my fumes. Lord.
Are you kidding?
Bleach, peroxide, the color. And my dad had, he had gloves, but it didn't matter. He had horrible reaction to the chemicals, and his hands were blistered and burned up by the chemicals. And, I can still smell it.
Yes,
today.
You can. I know you can. Yeah.
So I grew up in that. If there was a problem, I guess I'd become my own client.
You would know by now, right?
Yeah, I would hope so. But you know what? That brings up an interesting point. I read an article that there is a tremendous increase in lung cancers for non-smokers, and they attribute it to the environment, to the pollution and to the quality of air out there. That's the fastest growing cancer population in the world right now is
air
non-smoking lung cancers for people who have never smoked in their life and they're getting lung cancer, and it's from the pollutants in the air.
Ain't nothing you can do about this then, man.
You can put a respirator on a baby, I guess.
Can't really do anything about secondhand smoke because...
Yeah, but it's not even secondhand smoke, although that is another issue, but it's just pollutants in the air, and especially in places like Taiwan, in countries where they don't have the best quality of air to begin with because of manufacturing. And
regulation.
Yeah, no EPA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when, the Republicans want to slash the EPA and, what does he say? Dig, 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 or
drill, baby, drill.
I mean, yes, we have to weigh and measure doing what's good for the economy with what's good for our lungs and our environment, and there has to be a balance in everything in life. And like I said, in certain parts of the world, the fastest growing lung cancers are for non-smokers. So stay healthy, folks. Stay the course and come back and listen to us next week. We'll be here at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning on Saturday the 31st or the 1st. Which is it?
I think Monday is the 1st, isn't it? I don't remember. I don't have my phone in front of me.
I believe, is the... Sunday is the 1st.
Sunday's the 1st.
So we'll be here on Saturday, August 31st, for your listening enjoyment. And in the meantime, if you have a legal issue and you need to talk to me, give me a call at 215-227-2727 or send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. See you next week, folks. Have a great week.